From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Greener Views, a unique media resource for information, education, consultation, and fun. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on the health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.greenerviews.net. And now, your host, Daryl Whalen.
Okay, good evening, and welcome to episode 34 of Greener Views. I'm Daryl Whalen, along with video engineer Randy Parcell and Michael Schwartz. Hey, guys. And joining us this evening is Kevin Moen from Solterra Systems. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. So we've been putting out a call to if anybody's interested in advertising or sponsoring a program or an episode or giving a donation, please contact info@greenerviews.net. So how do I know the guest? Michael originally met Kevin at a business networking meeting. Yep. And when Michael first started videotaping the episodes and Kevin came on, do you remember what episode it was?
Which number?
24, 25,
that somewhere right.
Around there.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. And we talked primarily about solar.
That's right.
Solar roofs and solar panels. And we'll probably touch on that just a little bit this evening. But we're going to mostly talk about green roofs and living roofs and a little bit about green and living walls. So welcome, Kevin, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to be here.
And why don't you give us just a quick, real brief introduction about what Solterra Systems is.
So Solterra Systems is a company based out of Seattle and Portland. We do eco solutions, so everything from green roofs, living walls, solar energy, and we also are a roofing contractor as well, so we have a nice blend of our abilities and all under one roof of an installation company. Yeah, basically in operation in order to kind of spread social as well as environmental responsibility. That's really getting ahead of myself in the mission a little bit, but that really
that's
is
quite all right.
Yeah, that really is what our mission is. We like to kind of think of ourselves as kind of having the responsibility of taking care of our environment and the area around us, and that's one of the main things that I like to focus on with green roofs, as well as some of the benefits as a homeowner. So definitely get into that a lot deeper today.
Great. Well, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Because I recall from our last conversation, in which we went for quite a while, and we never even really touched on everything. Why don't we just go briefly on we were talking about while we were getting set up here. Tell us what's been going on with the business and any kind of specific projects or anything you got going and any particular updates or anything in the solar roof and solar panel end of things.
Yeah, well, as a company, we've been just doing a lot of residential installs in the Seattle area. We wrapped up the Northwest Harvest House, which actually now changed names to the Eastside Harvest House. So if you're ever looking for it, it might be hard to find under the original name. For those of you who don't know, that's basically a completely net zero home from their electrical standpoint, which we did a big solar array there, all the way down to their water consumption. That project was the first to get the permit to actually do potable water with rainwater catchment. So it's a really excited project to be on. Awesome new construction house. Literally 98% of the old home that was torn down was recycled. So just a great project. It's exactly what we're looking to do a lot more of. We've been doing a lot of residential retrofit installs for solar, keep the green roofs going, especially in Portland. And we have a living wall installation coming up at the University of Washington in the next few weeks. So that's something that's going to be a really cool project we're excited about.
Cool. Yeah, I think we may or may not brought it up on the show, but we certainly have talked about it before. Michael, his alma mater, is that right? Are you a prodigy of your campus? Is that what that means? How you say that? But his... campus in Oberlin, Ohio had one of the first university buildings that was pretty much net zero, right? Wasn't it?
That's great.
Do you remember what year that was?
15? Around 99 or 2000.
I was going to say about 15 years ago, somewhere around there, yeah. Maybe a little less. Great. Let's see. So why don't we get into the green? Oh yeah, there was a thing that we were talking about beforehand about the legal side of.
Oh right, yeah. That's right. So a new update with the solar industry is it's not in action, but it's just one step away from imposing tariffs on Chinese imported panels. And I mean that's a kind of it's a big deal, obviously from the world political standpoint, but also for the solar industry. Anytime you have tariffs, you're going to see an increase in price. So for anyone who's really on the fence right now or really thinking about it now, it sounds really cliche, but now's a really great time to make a move on that. We can't tell exactly what's going to happen, but it is progressing forward with the tariffs. So if they do that, they're saying up to 30% of a tariff, which is a really big deal. So that's probably the newest political news and news in the solar industry.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, and then figuring out how to do that carefully and not stir up ruffle too many feathers. I know that there's a big issue with the gasoline prices right now based on the nuclear thing that they're trying to prevent them from having access to the nuclear and everything. That's all the crazy stuff. Yeah, so I remember the last time that you were on the show. Why don't we touch on that again really quick about the some of the local manufacturers and distributors of the panels.
Yeah, so Silicon Energy is a company based out of Arlington, Washington. They manufacture panels. They have a really unique panel that's glass on glass. It's very durable. It's a beautiful design, really, because it's what we call bifacial, where you can see through it in the gaps between the little cells themselves. There's also another panel manufacturer called iTech based out of Bellingham. And those guys, plus Outback Power, that does a lot of off-grid and inverters, and they do a lot of really great work, are all Washington-based. They do panels and inverters. So those are all really great companies that are based here within, less than 80 miles. So,
aside from the fact that they're local, does it sound like you were saying about the glass-on-glass? Is that a pretty much an innovation in the industry? Or?
It's definitely the most unique panel. I mean, it is an innovative way to manufacture and create the panel. If you think about the way they wear with time, you've got glass and a few other layers and like a backing plate that's all different material. And as it's expanding and contracting, that's going to happen at different rates. So with time, it's just going to break down and delaminate. We're talking about a 40 or 50 year period, but if you compare that to glass, where they do expand and contract at the same time with two layers of tempered glass, these are panels that are literally made to jump on. That's how they display their durability. And they are an innovative design, really a cool product and something that has a really unique final outcome in the appearance because they cascade over each other and basically have this nice glossy glass finish of just interrupted kind of space.
So do they have a longer life and stuff?
They do. Their warranty's 5 years longer, but just knowing the composition, the way that they're made, I would expect them to last, the 40 to 50 year range for producing electricity.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the green roofs. So we're here to talk about green roofs and living roofs. Well, is there a difference between a green roof or a living roof, or is it pretty much the same thing?
No, that's just an exchangeable term.
Why don't you tell us what is a green living roof?
So a green roof is basically also known as a garden roof. You have plants and living vegetation on a roof surface. So the whole composition is you'll have a waterproof membrane. So that could be like a PVC roof. Most people are more familiar with this and they realize it's like those white roofs on top of like an office building. You see them in an airplane or if you're ever, on a view looking down. TPO is a very similar thing. It's a plastic roof. Whatever it is, there's a waterproof membrane. We actually work with a product called Wetsuit, which is a really cool product because it's spray-on. So it's kind of like a rhino liner that you might get in the bed of a pickup truck. Mm. You can spray it right on the roof. You can actually go over existing roofs with this. It's very, very stretchy. We have samples where you can stretch them like 10 times their original length. And that's another waterproofing membrane. So once you lay that down, you have basically a drainage layer that allows airflow and water flow to get out when it needs to. With a roof roots barrier as well in that mix that's preventing the plants from tapping down into your waterproof membrane. And then you basically have your soil that's going to support the plant life, and then plants on top with an irrigation system. For the most of our installations, we usually always do an irrigation system. So that entire system composes a roof and also is a living organic material, and there's a ton of benefits to that, and I'm sure we're getting into depth with all those in a minute. So
yeah, there's a lot of stuff. So you started to say that what I heard was the primary thing is for gardening and food.
I wouldn't say that's the primary, but that's definitely a huge benefit.
That's a huge benefit. Yeah. So let's talk about the benefit aside from that.
Okay. So literally there's a list over 20 items long of benefits of green roofs, right?
Let's talk about a few of them.
Let's talk about a few of the most like driving factors that are probably what are fueling that industry. So the first thing is that they're a great rainwater catchment system. So a lot of people don't really realize how much of a precious resource rain water is and how much we're losing just to the sound, especially in the Northwest, right? And the sound each year with rainfalls is just going out there and isn't getting replenished at the rate that we're losing it. So if you have a green roof, which on average, if we're talking about like a residential refit or a lightweight commercial green roof, it might be like 3 or 4 inches of soil. In our light showers that we typically get, not like a huge downfall like we're having some buckets today raining, right? But in our more intermediate showers, it's going to retain up to 80% of that rainfall and then let that evaporate back out. So that has a lot of great benefits. For one thing, an area like Portland, they have a huge problem with dumping so much stormwater that they're actually raising sewage levels and spilling that in the Columbia River.
Mm.
That's why there's a ton of incentives down there to, you can literally get a green roof for half price because the government's going to help pay for the rest because they need to have a solution for that. It just helps lower the cost for the utility companies with managing that stormwater and helps us return that more in that natural equilibrium of the environment of raining, evaporating, and creating more rainfall and clouds and everything else. So that's a whole benefit in itself. Another huge benefit is the fact that you have insulation, not just for heat and thermal, but also for sound.
Mm.
It'll help keep the sound in your home so that homes aren't as noisy, as well as keep outside sounds out. So that's another great benefit. Let's see. Some of the other ones would be the fact that it prolongs the life of the roof. So green roofs are definitely not a new thing at all, right? They're hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Probably thousands.
Probably thousands. I mean, it's almost impossible to pin when the first green roof was made, right? But if you look at even a 200-year-old green roof, they're still standing, they're still leak-proof and all that stuff, and that's with 200-year-old technology. So if we take a roof like what we're used to installing on like the commercial buildings where they're
like
guaranteed
20 years, 15, 20 years.
Or even longer. You know, some of those PVC roofs are like a 40 or 50-year roof.
Yeah.
If you take that and put a whole bunch of different material on top of it, like plant life, where that's actually using the sun's rays instead of breaking down the roof.
Interesting.
Then you're literally engineering a roof that's designed for the life of the building, right?
Ah, interesting.
Because what's breaking down your typical roof is those UV rays. And you're cutting those away.
Yeah.
It's not like wood where water and moisture is going to sit there and dry rot it. It's water resistant. It's designed for that.
Ah, you are opening up my mind about this stuff because that's great.
So for anyone who in their home is looking for a roof that's environmentally conscious and also they're looking for the long term, I can't think of anything better than a green roof.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, you'd almost think it was the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would. And a lot of people, I think that's the negative connotation that we have to fight is plant life. And what you and I were talking about earlier, where a lot of people around here have moss growing on their roof, and we get that comment all the time. Oh, I've already got a green roof.
I have a green roof. Yeah.
And because, you know, that's damaging, that holds moisture, it kind of breaks down the roof faster. I think a lot of people have that thought to, plants on my roof, that's not good. That's, you know, what we're trying to avoid. That's going to lead to breakdown. But obviously, you have to design it right. You have the materials and all the other things that are designed and built for this. And then you have a roof that's meant to last the life of the building.
Yeah, let's talk about the difference between an intentionally green roof, like you would you and your company would install properly, as opposed to an unintentional green roof.
Yeah.
That people have around here just because they're out near trees and all the moisture and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacific Northwest is a moist and, you know, especially on the north side, a shady area in a lot of places. And that's going to harbor moss and other, even grasses if it's flat enough to grow, right? And so that's negative if you're talking about like a comp roof or anything else, because it's going to hold that moisture, and that moisture can get wicked up into other materials and kind of break down that roof sooner than later. When you're talking about a green roof with all those different layers, you're going to be holding some of that moisture in the dirt or in the soil. It's not dirt from like the earth. It's designed to be a little bit more lightweight and everything. And then it releases itself and it's natural whenever it's time. Whether if it's a huge downpour, then it's just going to come right through that soil. It actually gets filtered in this process, which is a whole nother benefit. It gets filtered just naturally. It kind of strips some of the pollutants and other things that we don't want running down our drains and in our streets and all that away. And then it's going to funnel right out into your gutter system like your normal roof would.
So, yeah, that's really interesting, because I had heard that green roofs were not extremely viable in the Northwest, and you're saying that's completely not true.
You might have heard that because I don't know who or what source or anything.
Yeah.
But green roofs are viable anywhere. It's just they have to be designed for that area.
So the different approach is taken to, like, no matter where.
Yeah. I mean, you're obviously going to design a green roof a lot different in Arizona as you are in Washington, right? And people, I mean, I've heard that from both sides. People might think, oh, you can't do a green roof in Texas or Arizona. Are you crazy? That's way too hot or arid or whatever else. Well, you can. I mean, you grow plants in the desert. You just have
to
know.
From what you're telling me, having it in a place like Texas that's really dry would be really a benefit, because you're not going to be, as little as it rains in some of those areas, you're going to be actually capturing that and using that for, as opposed to not just having a regular old tile roof. That's not going to do really anything beneficial.
And that's also, in these different regions, when it becomes really important to work with someone who really knows how to design a green roof.
Yeah.
Because the design that goes into building a roof in an area like Seattle, where we get constant rain, but we don't have huge monsoons very often, it's going to be a whole different composure than if you're talking about an area like in the South, where it's dry all the time, but then they just get dumped on with these crazy storms that roll through.
Yeah.
You're talking about having a ton of water at one point in time. You know, you have to know what you're doing and design those in all different ways.
So a Seattle area green roof wouldn't work on there because the interesting. So being a painting contractor, I work not exclusively but pretty much a lot with the Miller Paints, and it's a Northwest company out of Portland, and they've been around for about 120 years. And one of the things that's really cool about them is their paints and their products are designed specifically for the Northwest.
Oh wow.
And as opposed to some of the larger paint companies that are national and, like, on the whole planet.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like they make a product and they sell it all over the place. Their paints and stuff, especially their exteriors, are formulated specifically for the Northwest. And they don't even really sell them anywhere outside of the Northwest area.
And that's another huge benefit of working with local producers and people that know the area, you know. There's a lot of different things in different regions that you have to account for, whether it's paints or green roofs or anything in between.
Sweet. Yeah, thanks. I love it. Let's see. So let's talk a little bit more about the food and the plants and stuff that can be grown on the roofs.
So that's definitely a secondary benefit. You could garden on your roof if that was your goal. That's an awesome goal, right? I mean, there's no reason you can't grow anything that's in a normal garden
on my roof.
On your roof,
you'd fall off.
Yeah.
You go for some carrots and you like fall off and break your neck.
Usually you're going to want a more flat roof for the gardening. One thing that's interesting is they actually have rice paddy fields but they can grow rice on roofs in China. They do.
Wow.
So anything from rice to strawberries to, honestly, the thing that's amazing about green roofs is you're only limited to your imagination and, to be really honest, a budget, of course.
Yeah.
Because if you're talking about something with a lot of soil, you're talking about more weight and you need to have a building that can support that.
Structurally, it has to be set up differently.
We can do green roofs where you're growing trees. You can put a cedar on a green roof.
How about a redwood?
It's been done. Yeah. I don't know about a redwood.
but that's really neat. I never knew that.
And some species of trees are going to have like a jackhammer tapping root. You want to avoid those because they're very strong. They're going to cause problems. But that's, again, where it comes in the expertise. You have to know what you're doing and designing for. Other types of trees spread out very wide with the root system and not very deep. And that way, it's perfect for a green roof because your soil is not as deep, but they spread themselves out to balance and all that other stuff. Again, this is not the typical green roof, but I'm just trying to help people understand that there's not a huge limitation with what you can achieve.
The possibilities are endless. Yeah. So I know I was trying to be kind of silly about my roof because I have a very steep roof, but Is the planning type stuff primarily done on the flat roofs? I mean, that would obviously make sense.
Primarily, yes.
But it's not exclusive.
And not exclusively at all.
Yeah, yeah.
They make, basically, you just add another component to the system if you're on a more slope roof, where you have cells, essentially.
Yeah, yeah,
they can
yeah.
either be supported.
Like rows, almost.
Yeah. Kind of like, if you imagine like honeycomb cells.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
you're planting within those, it's going to keep it from sliding off. It can be supported either by the peak of the roof or at the base. But again, when I first started to learn about this stuff, I asked my boss, I said, hey, what's the highest pitch that we could do a green roof? And he thought about it for a second. And he said, well, we do living walls, so anything in between.
Completely vertical.
You know? Yeah, from completely vertical to completely flat. We it's just a matter of having the right problem-solving mindset.
That's really
going
cool.
After it.
Yeah, no, it's, I imagine it's probably coming. Like you said, it's been around for thousands of years, but that's almost like a in-nature type of thing. But being introduced into just regular modern normal living, it's probably like it sounds so outside the box, but being one of the forerunners of change that your company is, then that's really, really great. And you're saying that these things are built properly and maintained properly, you can have the ability to do all this stuff and have a roof that essentially could last hundreds of years.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, there's no reason it couldn't.
Wow, that's really cool. And, of course, the thing that I'd always heard when I first heard about this stuff coming up is that, you know, the roof is going to get all wet and rotted and stuff like that, so that's not going to happen, right?
Nope. I mean, you're not using cedar shake under this, right? Yeah. That would be a problem. But with the right waterproof membrane, there's no issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on that topic, one thing that a lot of people also get really hung up on is, oh, what if there's a leak?
Mm.
Well, just the first thing is there's not going to be a leak unless you have an issue with the penetration during the installation of that original roof. And secondly, there's a lot of technologies out there to detect leaks. They have this system that uses electricity and basically can pinpoint within a couple inches where water would be penetrating if that were the case. Real world example, we did Bellevue High School. We did a green roof there.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, one of the problems with new things like this and having multiple contractors and something on the industrial scale is there's lots of different people working. There's lots of people coming and going and lots of whose fault, who did this or that.
Yeah.
Long story short, there are multiple penetrations put in that roof from other people who are working on it who weren't being as mindful of the fact that this is a brand new waterproof membrane put down.
Yeah.
And so we had to come out and we were able to fix two leaks on two different occasions within a couple hours.
Wow.
It was misfortunate that happened, but again, that's something that happened with other contractors doing their work, literally pounding metal on top of the roof, not thinking, hey, this is a new roof that needs to not have holes put in it. but it wasn't a big problem at all. You can just remove a section, replace a patch or whatever you need to do, and there's no long-term problems.
Well, there's probably people, I mean, not probably, definitely people that are doing other facets of construction and maintenance that are 100%, 110% unfamiliar with these roofs and how they function and how they have to be, you know, what they have to be mindful of and stuff. So your part of your thing is not only, and that's the kind of stuff that we want to do on this show, is to not only educate your clients and your potential customers that are getting this stuff, but other people in the field and stuff to how to work around this stuff.
Yeah. And that's it's a big important thing that needs to happen as the industry continues to grow. I mean, for us, you know, we do solar and that's a big part of our business, but being certified roofers, it gives us that huge advantage to be able to do both at the same time. Whether it's a green roof or not, we can do the penetrations. We can have that all in one house under one warranty. And when you're talking about doing green roof and solar together, it's awesome because another benefit of green roofs is if you pair those with solar, it helps the panels perform more efficiently because the cooler they are, the better they run like any electronic device out there. So they help keep it cooler. And we can do both of those at the same time. And having the expertise in all the areas really helps make it more, you know, a less frustrating experience for multiple contractors having to work when they don't know each other's kind of specialty and all that other stuff.
What's the lifespan and the expectancy and durability of those membranes that go down underneath those green roofs?
So you mean before green roof or after?
Is there two different membranes?
Well, there's lots of different membranes, right?
Well, you're saying that on a roof, you put down this membrane or whatever, and then you put the soil on top of that. How's that work?
Yeah.
How about the life cycle of the membrane itself?
Well, the membrane, if it's got the green roof on it, it originally – so those are designed to be standalone roofs, right? So that's usually somewhere around the time frame of like a 40-year roof without that on top of it.
Yeah.
So you add all that, and we say that it's engineered for 50 years, but that's really being modest. I mean, that's – I would expect any green roof with a brand new waterproof membrane to last the life of the building.
So, okay. So what you're saying is the breakdown is caused by the direct exposure to the air and the elements and the sun and everything, and that's really where the breakdown is. You're covering all that up, and so you're potentially keeping that sealed up forever.
And we're basically just kind of adding like a protective jacket of plants to it, if you think of it that way.
So what about the roots? Yeah, the roots coming through the – does that happen?
There's a root barrier.
Okay.
It's one of the layers in that whole setup, and it's literally designed – there's different techniques. It's either chemically or physically, otherwise known as mechanically – designed to prevent roots from coming through.
We tend to
lean towards the mechanical side, because anytime you're introducing chemicals, you use copper because it kind of deters those roots. But you have a little bit of washout kind of pollution concern to have there. But there's just don't quote me on this, but I believe it's a high density polymer that they use for that root barrier. And that's exactly what it's designed for, to prevent them from coming through and doing anything on any of the levels that you don't want them intruding into.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. So what about the, let's see, I'm not sure if we, yeah, do I have to mow or water it?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. So
get my weed whacker up there.
Exactly. Walk on your pitched roof with a weed whacker. It's no fun. So the plants that we use with green roofs are specifically designed to not only be very hardy, but they really don't grow out of control.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's completely up to you what your roof looks like. And if you have certain goals, if you want it to feel like a garden, it's a flat roof, and you're creating a livable space on your roof, then maybe there is some maintenance, because you're basically gardening at that point.
But if you're not gardening, it's pretty much self-maintaining.
Yeah. If your main goal is, hey, I want to be a part of that bigger picture, I also want all the good insulating benefits, et cetera, et cetera. Hmm. You can do just sedums on your roof, which are a really fascinating plant because they're extremely hardy for multiple reasons. If you break them off, like say you take a sedum plant and pull a couple leaves off and all these things, they'll literally replant themselves that way.
Cool.
One thing that I learned that's really fascinating is they have a metabolism that's always adjusting to their surroundings. So in the drought, they're taking less water and they're kind of living off of less as they need to. In the crazy downpours, they're sucking a lot of that up and saving it for later. They're basically built to withstand almost anything. So they also don't grow a lot. We have a little display that we take to home shows. It's a doghouse with a green roof on it. And that thing's been planted for over 2 years, and people think that it's fresh because it's still only, you know, it's got like a inch or two of vegetation on the top, and we don't do anything to it. We just we plant it and we leave it outside so it can catch rain, and that's it.
And
so,
just carry it inside and then go to the home show or something.
Exactly. And as far as watering goes, we usually always install an irrigation system. You need to use it in August and maybe July, but it's there to make sure that the roof is going to survive if there's a long period of hot weather and everything. But other than that, especially in Seattle area, Portland, it's getting plenty of water throughout the year so that there's no real issues there. The one maintenance that there would be is you just want to make sure that there's not weeds growing in those first 2 years, because the first 2 years are really crucial to a green roof. We usually like to actually do the maintenance ourselves, so it can really kind of almost be an incubator environment for it with the nutrients and everything else to kind of watch over that at least, you know, four times a year for the first 2 years. Once you're at that stage, then it's really taken root, no pun intended, and kind of resistant to a lot of the things that can cause problems otherwise.
So you're creating this sustainable like ecosystem off the roof from all this maintenance over the first 2 years, and then after that, you should be able to pretty much let it go on its own, or just have somebody that might not be quite as knowledgeable to be able to maintain it fairly easily.
Uh-huh. And the maintenance is not very much work at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's making sure it has the right nutrients, which you can actually do through the irrigation system if you need to. Again, making sure that weeds aren't kind of creeping in and anything like that. Just kind of taking a good look at how it's doing. Sometimes we'll need to do a few changes to the design afterwards because there's little microclimates on the roof, and we might need to say, hey, this isn't doing so well here, and we'll come in and replant a new group there or do whatever it takes. But it's really not too much work as far as the maintenance end is concerned.
Hmm. So you talked about Portland having the the was it like rebates or abatements or whatever for it being such an asset because of the overflow of the rainwater on the pretty much city system. I know Portland's amazing about that. I forgot what they call that whole thing about the but anyhow, so what about Seattle? Do they have any?
Seattle's not quite like Portland is yet. There's not all that many incentives from the government at this point. We just don't quite have that demand like Portland does, where they have a real problem that they have to stop.
Yeah.
But we're definitely going to see an adaption. I mean, if you look at Toronto, what Toronto does is they actually are requiring that commercial buildings above, I believe it's 5,000 square feet, have to have a green roof of some form.
Wow. And a certain percentage of it or something?
I think that's how it works. It's probably X amount of square feet has to cover X amount of square feet of your building type of thing, you know, ratio.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to be more adopted throughout because another benefit, I don't know, we're probably on 7 or 8 now.
That's fine.
No, it's great. Yeah. Another benefit is that it offsets what's called the urban heat island effect.
Mm.
So if we think about Seattle, we have a bunch of cars, have a bunch of concrete, have a bunch of metal that the metal absorbs and then later radiates. Concrete does the same thing. Glass reflects. On average, I think it's 5 to 8 5 to 8% hotter in the city than it is just right on the outskirts of that.
Mm.
And because green roofs are literally bringing in that natural, you know, flow of evaporation and all that other, all those other good benefits, they help offset that. So that's another reason why cities are mandating that those are part of the new construction, especially because if you're talking about new construction, your increase in costs, it's definitely more than if you weren't to do it. But relatively speaking, it's very reasonable, especially if you consider that long term and the amount of time that's going to add to the life of that roof. Plus, I mean, you can't really quantify that, but if you've ever been to a city that's highly populated by green roofs, it's beautiful. I mean, you can get up in a skyscraper and look down and you see natural landscapes. You know, Seattle's great because we do have a lot of vegetation and everything, but in New York, I believe they had an old, I don't know what it was. It used to be like a railway, and it was elevated just like, you know, 10 feet above the ground so that there's still streets and everything under it. And that's been shut down for years, and they turned that into like, they call it a park. It's a walkway where there's green vegetation and it's basically a green roof park, if you will. It's not on the roof of a building, but it's in a parkway where they're just walking on the path.
Hmm.
So by doing that, we're integrating a lot more of the nature into the city. And now another benefit, if you look at the medical field, it's been studied and clinically proven that patients that have a view of a green roof or natural surroundings have less stress and actually recover more quickly. So that's also, if a living wall is great for that as well, but it's not as practical to put a living wall in every single room as it would be to put a green roof right next to a hospital that's overlooking it, where there's tens of hundreds of rooms that could potentially have that in sight. I mean, that's just another benefit.
Nature is medicine.
Yeah.
Is there, what city is there, like major city anywhere on the planet that has like the highest, you know, number of green roofs?
Germany is a nation in general.
Yeah.
Europe's just far ahead of us in this respect, and it's not from a technology standpoint. It's not that they have better technology or more cutting edge. It's just that their governments are more unified and moving in one direction.
And they're open to it.
Yeah.
Stuff. They also have, don't they have like the largest amount of solar roofs and stuff too?
Germany has 47% of the entire world's installations. So Spain is number 2, and then we're like 7 or something. I don't know.
And which is crazy because at one time, you know, people have these these incredibly like macho attitudes about the United States and how innovative we are and how technologically advanced we are. But at one time, it probably was safe to say that was a lot truer. But it's opportunities like that, even with the vehicles and stuff, where we're slowly creeping into that stuff. But it's unfortunate that it's taken so long. And like Germany, I had heard 47% of like
the world installations are
and
in that
7% in the United States.
I don't know, the percentage isn't that low. I think we're number 5 on the list. We have something in the neighborhood of the 20s%. And the quick fact that I'll make, the plug for solar, is that in Washington State, the worst place in Washington State for solar is still better than the best place in Germany. So just to kind of make that comparison.
So you think it's like gloomy here and everything, and that's not necessarily. We talked about that on our show last time, and I'm. You don't have to convince me. I mean, I always when I have the opportunity to, I always like to say that Jimmy Carter, love him or hate him, he put solar panels on the White House, and the guy that came after him took them all down.
Yeah, no.
And so what about the costs
of Green Roof?
Yeah.
Well, it really depends on, are you starting from scratch? Are you doing new construction? Because a large part of the cost is that waterproof membrane, because we're talking about a roof with that, right?
Yeah.
I have to be fairly vague just because, again, there's so many options you can do, and you can be extremely low end. You can do a 1-inch green roof with just moss. You can do a 12-inch deep green roof with trees and all this. So just on average, you're probably looking at adding somewhere between, and this is a big range, but between like $10 to $30 a square foot on top of your – well, that's the range in general right there. And if you're doing like a retrofit where you're using like wetsuit, that spray-on stuff I was talking about, you can go right over even shingles on a residential home with that. And that's going to be a variable cost, but you'd be adding – something around like, you know, 10 to 15, could be 25 to add a green roof on top of an existing roof.
And the thing about the cost, too, is that that's based on where we are now in the industry.
Yeah.
And just like we were talking about the other stuff, as this becomes more popular and the advancement in the technology and the application and the process, it only serves to make sense that that's going to go down at some point.
Yeah. Like any industry, I mean, volume is going to bring just price reduction. That's definitely a valid point.
Yeah. So we're going to ask one more question and take a break here. In terms of percentages over the last, say, X amount of years, how popular have green roofs become?
That's a hard question to answer. They're a lot more popular than people realize. I mean, I don't think most people would realize that in 1932 there was a green roof installed in the Rockefeller Center, right? Hmm. I mean, that's a pretty early adoption of it by a pretty major statement in New York City. I don't know how to put that in terms of a percent, but you know, having places like Portland with their, you know, big incentives is, and Toronto with their
it's
mandates,
it's definitely
and
becoming
everything.
More popular, and it's moving forward and moving up. It's not becoming obsolete and moving backwards.
Yeah, and that all comes also with the industry learning and growing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
no pun intended.
But there's a lot of people that when there's something like this and there's an interest, that will go out there and tell people they know how to do it, and they'll go just plant a garden on the roof, and it'll fail after a few months. And that's the thing that we need to be very careful of, that people realize that's someone who does not know exactly what it takes to create this. And
go down to the nursery and grab a bag of kind of like peat moss and take a wheelbarrow and drop it onto your roof. And
you can't do that. The growing medium is far, far different than soil and the earth because of weight purposes, and also the roof environment is going to perform differently than something in the earth.
So it's important to know that it's not – there's the right way to do this, and there's a proper way to do this, and then not doing it that way can potentially give a bad name to what's ultimately a great thing for people to be doing.
Definitely.
Super. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back.
You are listening to Greener Views.
Me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. Came to rest on the minefield, blessed with naive mind shield, like a helmet. They would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue, disillusioned little. In the vision of one resides all, destroy the individual, for this is critical. The self ain't everything, hands to grasp, to cling, to mask material vastly shipwrecked beings. At last, release the greed amassed with capitalist tasks and contact the mass. Communication is all we have in dwindling.
Okay, we're back here with episode 34 of Greener Views. We're here with Kevin Moen from Solterra Systems. And before we get back into the next little group of questions I have here, what positive changes or positive impacts do you see for Solterra Systems in the future?
For Solterra Systems?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we really have big, big vision for the future and for our involvement. We really want to get involved in higher level construction type things. I won't share too much because I don't know how much he wants me sharing.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
fair enough.
But I know that what we would really love to do is basically take all of these great technologies and build and start having that be like our shopping centers, right? But not a traditional shopping center, something like, you know, close to Seattle, so there's not a whole lot of commuting for the local people, that has a green roof, of course, powered by solar energy. Local producers of the goods that are being sold and all those other things. You know, I'm a really big fan of local things. I like to limit my transportation as much as possible. I like to, like we were talking about earlier, using those local knowledges of whatever is good. I mean, whether it's food or clothes or anything else, just having that local feel is a big part of it. So we really want to be part of building that stuff. Not only that, but if we look at the solar end, we also really want to produce a lot of electricity with clean energy. We're actually looking at a few projects in California that are pretty big scale. I mean, we're talking about like the malls that exist now that aren't quite as green, powering a good percentage of an entire mall, just covering the roof with solar, basically.
Maybe like a Westlake Center or something?
Yeah, or yeah, this place yeah. that we're
much
talking
bigger.
About. Yeah, I don't know if they're much bigger because yeah. Westlake's really big.
So you're saying taking a place like Westlake Center
and covering
and
it.
Putting like solar yeah. stuff on there and green living roofs and
imagine Westlake Center, all the parking there with overhead solar panels.
Yeah,
you know, and it's we're talking about California, so yeah, we're pretty good here for solar, but down there, I mean, they get beat
yeah.
all the time
yeah,
with
yeah,
the
yeah.
sun. So sweet. You know, all those things coming together, it's something we're really excited about.
Cool. Well, I'm excited about it with you.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about living walls,
okay.
green walls. What are they?
So it's living walls are basically just a vertical garden. If you envision the wall behind us being nothing but lush green plants of all different types, that's what we do. It's basically a frame system that's got panels that basically have pockets. Again, an irrigation system that runs through it, and it's just a lush green area that basically improves air quality. It's literally a natural air filter. We have a big one in our Portland office, and we had a three-day retreat the other month down there, and it was the first time I spent a lot of time around a green wall, and you just feel so fresh and clean in that room. The other thing that they do is they act as a sound dampener, so if you have a big hall or we have the coterie room here in Seattle has a green wall in it. It kind of dampens the noise in the corner of that restaurant. All those things are the benefits and kind of the enjoyable part. But, of course, it's a beautiful, remarkable piece of any structure or the interior. We can do exterior as well. But they're very similar, just a vertical version and a lot of aesthetic value as well, of course.
So how are they? Give me a brief explanation about how they're installed.
Yeah, so living walls, I mean, every installation is going to be a little different, very custom to the surroundings, obviously. Let's just say if it was like someone's home and they wanted to do a retrofit living wall, we could use that same material we use on the roofs, that wetsuit. We can roll it on and create a whole waterproof backing. We'd install a rail system in there, you know, to the 2x4s in their home. And then basically it's a panel system where we're putting panels on that are about 2.5 by 2.5 feet. But when the final appearance is done, it appears just a lush green wall with just plant life.
It looks kind of like a trellis or like a lattice type of a thing or something.
Kind of. You can do, I mean, that's maybe a little bit more along the lines of a green screen, which is literally like cables with vines and things growing up it. But this is just kind of like a solid wall of plants, and they're really, really cool. I wish I could definitely get some pictures, and of course our website has them, but
if you have any pictures or video, please send them because Michael will put them onto the video.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He does a great job with that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Cool. So yeah, how viable are those here in the Northwest?
Is viable as far as like the survival and everything? I mean, the interior, you just basically have a recycling system where there's a waterproof basin or a water basin at the bottom. You water them. They're on an automatic timer. They water themselves. Again, you add nutrients as necessary to that mixture, but they're almost maintenance-free in that respect. You can do them exterior as well. It just comes down to your plant selection at that point. Yeah.
So what about in terms of percentage, do you have any idea like how are they gaining some momentum? I mean, obviously, I would say that they probably are. Do you have any idea about how much or if they are at all?
We're getting with all these puns, but they're literally the fastest growing, you know, segment of our company.
Oh, really?
But it's also because it's starting a little bit more small. It's not going to be quite the same market that's going to be wanting
it's
to take advantage of
those. It's more financially manageable to do a little green wall or living room than it is to put a whole, like, green roof on your house or building.
It can be. Yeah. But also, like, the whole demand perspective, a living wall is beautiful and it's going to make that room feel great. And, like, an office building that's really stuffy could really gain a lot from that and that whole environment and all that.
Yeah.
But as far as those hard numbers that people are looking for with the return on energy savings and all these other things, like, the green roofs are going to bring that a lot more.
Yeah.
But for someone who really wants to change its space, for a company that wants to create a whole vibrant organic feel in the office, for universities, you know, that's a great solution. We're going to install one on UW. It's going to be really, really cool. It's going to literally slide along the wall in a track. There's going to be two different levels of it.
Cool.
And it's going in on their architecture building down there, and that's going to be a really fun project. There's nothing like that around that I know of. It's going to be a whole winch system and detachable irrigation and all this stuff. So it's going to be a really fun project to be a part of.
So are there any incentives or rebates or anything for the living walls?
Not with the living walls. Not so
much. About in Portland? Nothing over there either?
No.
It's mostly the...
Yeah.
Cool.
They're really whole different beasts from each other, the living walls and the green roofs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, listen, do you have any other particular things that you want to touch on about either the solar panels or solar roofs or the green roofs or walls before we go?
You know, I guess the one thing I would say is hopefully people have been getting a gist about how many great things are going on with living roofs.
Sounds like it.
But for me, apart from just those kind of tangible things that we can really measure and the insulation and all these other things, the fact that really struck me and made me realize how important these are going to be in the future is that within 10 years, we're projected to lose 25% of our plant and natural life.
25% in 10 years?
Species going extinct. That just blew my mind.
That blows my mind right now,
I mean,
man.
It's insane.
You're breaking my heart.
I know, and it's terrible. But you can create habitats on your roof, basically.
Yeah.
And there's some people who get them who aren't about this and, you know, they don't want that, and that's fine. That's okay. It still has great impacts. But you can literally create a faux environment. Well, it's not even a faux environment. It's a real environment. You just have to replicate it, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that is not measurable. You know, the fact that we literally can lose plants and animals that we will never get back, I mean, that's something that I feel like should be on the forefront of our focus as a society. And that's part of our, you know, societal responsibility that Solterra we feel responsible to help spread not only the education but make it happen as well. That plus the whole rainwater aspect. I mean, I think it's I don't remember quite off the top of my head these exact numbers, but it's something like by 2030, billions and billions of people are going to be struggling for clean water. You know, where here we've got clean water in our toilets and all these other things that we flush down all the time. And I just don't think people realize how scarce of a resource clean water truly is. And then the one last thing that also on the pollutant aspect, because again, green roofs do filter and they help with pollutants, not only particulates in the air, but things that are getting washed down, is that every other year in Washington, we wash away the equal amount of Valdez ExxonMobil or the Exxon spill. That much oil goes into our natural water each year just from stormwater runoff alone.
Wow.
I kind of stumbled over that, but I hope people understand what that means. Yeah. Every other year, the Exxon Valdez spill is put back into the ocean.
Mm. Yeah, I would love to get somebody that's an expert on just on water and stuff because there's so much talk about that. I was listening to one of the programs that I list like on the weekend, and they were – it was a couple, and they were doctors, and they're talking about going over to a third world country. I don't remember, by the way, all the specifics. I kind of caught it near the end, but talking about how truly, truly dire the water situation is, and like I'm not talking about a small part of the planet. I'm talking about a huge part of the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And we take it for granted where we're at, and we don't really have an idea because we have some pretty damn great lives around here.
Yeah.
Life is challenging, and life is a little tough sometimes for some of us. It's pretty great all the time for some people. But the truth of the matter is we have it. I have friends that live, we were talking earlier about Arizona and Texas and stuff, and there's areas of Texas that haven't seen rain for like years now.
Yeah.
But still Texas is a pretty darn blessed place to live on the planet compared to a lot of places. So I know the last time we talked, I was automatically drawn towards, you know, you as a person and what you're inspired by and why you do this stuff. And it's really, really the kind of stuff that makes me want to continue to, to keep doing this show, you know?
Yeah.
Any other type of events or any kind of information or offers or whatever that are like coming up in the near future? I imagine you guys are always doing home shows and educational type stuff and workshops and
We don't have any real immediate. I mean, the summertime we're way just
too busy
working. And production and all that great stuff is
going on.
How about
coming up in the future?
Yeah, one thing that I would say would be kind of a fun thing is we have actually 3 green roof dog houses. And so anyone in the Seattle area, just keep your eyes out anywhere you go for a green doghouse that's got a green roof on top, because we're going to be doing a little bit more with our Facebook page and everything else about kind of putting those around. I think that we're going to get a little bit more involved with people who are able to find them and do things along those lines. But that's something we're kind of playing with in a kind of a fun event. I'd also definitely recommend anyone who's interested in seeing the green wall at UW to go out to our website or even contact me directly. Because throughout this whole building process, it's going to be a lot of a learning process as well. I mean, that's a university. The students are going to be involved with it to a degree. And it'd be awesome for anyone who wants to see it in action or learn a little bit more to even stop by and talk to people that are there working and all that good stuff. So home shows are always around, but that's something that it's not really that season anymore.
It's off season,
so, yeah. It's the off season for all that.
And so speaking of the Facebook page, why don't we talk about the logistical stuff, emails, websites, phone numbers, contact information?
Cool. So like I said, you can contact me directly. My phone number is 253-508-1705. Solterra Systems, for all you that are just listening, is Solterra. So it's solar and terrace coming together. So Solterra Systems is, you can go to solterrasystems.com or useyourroof.com. Either one takes you to our site.
Why don't you use your roof, man?
Exactly. Use your roof. Solar and green roofs. And then my email is kmoen. My last name is M-O-E-N at solterrasystems.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So, any final words or, helpful advice to leave us with?
Helpful advice would be, if you are getting involved with all these things, just make sure that people know exactly what they're doing. And last words are just kind of consider how precious it is to be have the opportunities that we do as Americans and as free people, and the impact that we have on our surroundings, and just be conscious of the way you're using the energy and the resources around. And you know, if you ever want to be a part of a bigger picture, you can always contact me or keep watching the Green Reviews, because they do great stuff here as well. And just keep in mind the responsibility and the impacts that we have here on our planet that's truly one of a kind.
You seem like a guy that's pretty good with statistics. What's the statistic about the size or population-wise of our country and like the amount of resources we use? There's some kind of statistic about that?
I've probably heard it, and I probably immediately shunned it away from my memory.
It's okay that you don't know. I was just throwing it out
no,
there.
No, because it's very disturbing, I think.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Kevin. You've been listening to episode 34 of Green Interviews. Thank you, Kevin Moen from Solterra Systems, for joining us. On the next show, we have, I can't remember her name, but she's from Cancer. She's Cancer, something about Cancer. Look it up on our website. Let's see. On behalf of Randy and Michael and myself, thank you for listening. And we really do want your feedback. So email or call us with ideas about guests or topics or general opinions about the show. That's info@greenreviews.net. 206-650-4587. And please, we're just now from our last show starting to push this out there. We've been doing this show for about 15 months now, and we've got 34 episodes. We do this totally on our own time and from our own heart, and we've put all our own resources into it, and we're finally at this point we decided to go out. So if anybody cares to advertise or sponsor or donate, please contact us. Check out AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com, GreenReviews.net, YouTube.com/GreenReviews, and last but not certainly not least, HealthyHomeCast.com. So thanks a lot and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. Check out all their conscientious and sustainably focused podcast programs and businesses at HealthyHomeCast.com. Greener Views is created, developed, and produced by Daryl Whalen. Our audio engineer is Randy Parcell. Our video producer is Michael Schwartz of AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Music for this episode was provided by SlapJazz.com, DanFajans.Bandcamp.com, and JDHobson.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments or questions, including suggestions for guests and program topics. You can call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@greenerviews.net. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon.